Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View.
Father God, you're a magnificent God. I'm breathing, I'm walking, I'm talking, I have consciousness because you allow it to be so. I ask that you would dispel your wisdom and your knowledge and your understanding to you, your people. We're grateful for the opportunity to be here sitting amongst each other, just enjoying the human experience. But there is a part of us that has a level of divinity, and that is what I'm trying to magnify, God. I'm trying to magnify you in us. So therefore, God, going forward, remove those things that would hinder us and hurt us, God, and bring us to a place where we are being healed and helped, God. And this is not just for the people who are here, but this is for everybody, everywhere. Let this prayer be made and sanctified by the blood of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah and amen. So what's happening out there, everybody out there in listeners land? We here in the studio, in the booth, in the spot with the captain. And we also have the one and only Mr. Malcolm Varner. But today's special guest is Miss Brenda Street. Thanks for coming on the show. I have an intent to talk about success today. And that is why we came. We came to talk about what is a success. So I asked the question to everybody out there. What do you consider success as? What's your definition? Back in the day, I got harshly scolded for a word that I used, and that word was crazy. They didn't like the definition of crazy. So I'm not going to use that. I'm going to use success today, and I'm going to leave it to the listeners to decide what that means. But before we get into that, I'm going to properly allow Miss Brenda Street, properly allow her to introduce herself and tell us all just a little about you and your program that you have going on.
Okay, thank you very much. Again, I am Brenda Street. I am the CEO and founder of Rhizomatic Transitions, Inc., DBA, God's Truest Miracles, Transitional Housing Program. And our program, we house, educate, model accountability and responsibility to ex-offenders and those of substance abuse and mild mental illness. We are a community-based organization. We have been operating now for 17 years. Based here in Dallas, in Texas. Been working with the state of Texas for the TDCJ programs now for the past 7 years. Professional. We are just an awesome program. It's founded in GOD, which we call Good Orderly Direction, for those that have not arrived yet, okay? And we allow you, we are spiritually based, that way you get to go to your own beliefs. You get to choose your own belief system. However, we do mandate that you practice and participate in a 12-step organizational program. That is a must, because with ex-offenders, we know that God delivered us from the substance abuse. So he delivered us to a program to teach us how to live so that we have to no longer exist, so that we may live and magnify his name, his greatness, and his goodness.
Hallelujah. You know what? I'm glad you said live, and you said it in, how could I say this? You said it in opposition to the word exist. I remember being on the yard back in Hunt's Correctional Facility and saying to myself, this is only existing. I hated that. And more than once, we find ourselves in despair and just depression. And you feel like you're only existing. So, Ms. Street, the program, how's it work? I mean, outside of the 12 step, what's the whole gist of it?
Oh, the glue to it, the cohesiveness of the entire organization is my personal experience. I'm also a recovered alcoholic addict. only by God's grace I've been kept sober for the past 21 years. I literally slept at the stew pot in the little alley now where we pick up our food.
Yeah,
on a cardboard box covered up with newspaper. I am a survivor of incest. I am a survivor of abuse. I have been shot twice, stabbed, raped so many times we stopped counting. And I have survived all that so that I could get to the other side for God to show you me. So that you will know what one of his truest miracles really is.
Truest miracles. God's truest miracles is the name of the organization. That's how you guys are doing business. So how does one participate in the program?
They have to be willing. They have to be willing to sometimes give up an old belief system to incorporate a new one. So that means that sometimes you'll have to go against what you believe. Everything I believed, I come to find out, wasn't always true. What my eyes seen is not what my heart felt. So I learned to live with my heart and allow myself to be guided by my gut, because that's where my God consciousness is centered. Okay. So what I do is I help you to incorporate new values and new beliefs about you, raising self-esteem, self-awareness, and self-acceptance, because that's what true success is. It's not about how much money I make. It's not about how big my organization is. It's about me helping you to become who God intended you to be.
So I'm sitting on my mat, or I'm sitting on my bunk, and I'm in TDCJ, and I'm thinking, man, there's a list of transitional houses I could go to. Outside of just this paperwork that I see, how do I get in contact with you? How do I make the effort, even if I do want to change and I don't know how to go about it, how do I make the effort to get in contact with you, and what happens from that point?
The same way you get in contact with God, you call on me. So all it takes is a desired willingness. You make the phone call and we do the rest.
That's cool. Y'all accepting calls from TDCJ?
Yes, we do.
Oh, man. So that's for everybody that ever get locked up. You dig? In the street, them, they accepting the calls, the collect calls, you dig? Don't call too much, don't just call to be talking, you dig? So, I mean, on a level of success, Miss Street, what did it take you to get up off that cardboard box and get where you are?
It took a desire to live at all cost and by any means necessary. That meant I had to give up mama, daddy, bubba, and the baby. And I had to put God first. I had to allow him to guide and direct me. I had to give up some people that I really, really wanted to hang on to. Because in that lifestyle, that's all you have. And I come to the realization, the only way you'll get full knowledge of his power is that you have to hit rock bottom. And it ain't until you hit rock bottom do you realize who made the rock.
It ain't until you hit rock bottom, huh? That's crazy. Rock bottom for some people is not rock bottom for others.
That's right.
I've known individuals, and I've known myself, and I've seen people say, well, you know, I've been on crack, but I still have. You know, my rock bottom was in a cell. It was in a cell by myself where I said, okay, how do we do this? You know, I heard about God all the time. I hear, you know, I grew up, moms were sending me to church. I was going to church for a while. I got old enough, I started skipping church. Mm-hmm. And so rock bottom for me was in a cell, actually saying, listen, man, if you out there, I'm gonna need you to go ahead and speak up. And I'm reminded by KRS-One up at Temple University, God don't speak English. He don't speak German. He don't speak French. He speaks from the desire of your heart. He hears that. The murmurs of your heart. He hears that. So I feel like you've chosen the best way. When you say I live from my heart and I speak from the depths of my gut or from my soul.
That's right.
Amen. Exactly. I preach all the time. I talk to people all the time about that. But my generation, the people I'm growing up around, my peers, for lack of a better word, are ignorant in a lot of ways. And everybody is ignorant to some knowledge or some extent. Yeah. Secondhand. All knowledge is secondhand. So I'm going to give y'all the definition of success from Earl Nightingale. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy idea. If you're continually progressing toward a goal and you see yourself progressing, you're a success. If there's a goal in mind, in a sense, I was told like this, if we start up a boat with individuals on it with a plan to get to a specific place, it may take a while, but we'll get there. But let's start up another boat and let's not put anybody on it and just let it go. It won't ever reach a destination. It won't ever have a purpose. So success, in a sense, to me specifically, is reaching toward a purpose or an ideal. And so how did you reach the goal and the idea of not one, but two transitional houses?
I love this. With my board members, we had a discussion here a while back about changing the name of God's Truest Miracles to attract more funders. And people were offended that I was using God's Truest Miracles. They thought it had a religious connotation to it. And not a lot of folks wanted to jump on board with that. And I picked up my little black bag and my little purse. And I says, well, you know what? I am going to keep God's Truest Miracles if don't nobody on the planet help me. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I was awakened at 1 o'clock in the morning out of my bed where I lived alone in my apartment with a voice saying God's Truest Miracles. I've never heard anybody mention that. I went back to sleep and that same voice woke me up less than an hour later. So I got on the phone at 1:30 in the morning and called my CPA and say, hey, I have the name of our program. And when he says, where'd you come up with that? I say, God gave it to me. And what God gave to me, I will let no man take from me. But it was inspired because I worked for a treatment center, and I'd been working there for quite some time, 8-9 years. And it started when I had a couple of clients who were in very abusive relationships. And they came to me and told me about the relationships and the environments in which they were living. That even though they wanted to stay sober, they were unsafe, unhealthy environments that they lived in. So I end up sending them to a place to stay for a couple of nights. And then my son had to get him another house because we took it. And that's how we got started. I ran and fought transitional housing for 3 years, not something I wanted to do. It was not my desire. My passion is nursing. And I've been in nursing since 1974. But somehow God saw fit to put me where he needed me to be.
I was thinking about how that happened here. With everybody that's assembled in the room. The very same thing. I introduce y'all to Mr. Malcolm Varner.
So, Ms. Brenda, I was just wondering if you could give us, I know you and I have had some conversation in terms of the actual lives that have been impacted by your program. And if you could just give us like some specific examples of some young women or young men who've gone through your program, obviously going through that recovery process and 2, 3, 4 years out, they've been able to really accomplish some great things.
They have. They really have. I actually have a program manager right now that's just got her bachelor's degree in science. I have an ex-client who is a vice president of a bank. I've had some very high successful people where their children have come through. We have had so much success with God's Truest Miracles and my clients coming from nothing to evolve to not just something, but something magnificent.
I have a question. What's you guys' mission statement?
We empower men and women who suffer from literal slavery of drugs and alcohol, you know, and we empowered them to strengthen them so that they could go forth and be an example to others to carry on.
Question. You guys have a...
No, not yet. We haven't evolved that much yet. And as real honest with you, I'm kind of hesitant. I don't want to get so big that I'm not effective.
This is the age-old response to the mega church versus the little church.
Yes. It's just way more effective when you've got smaller groups, when you can be hands-on, when they can actually see the person that started this, opposed to all the people in the middle.
That is extremely vital. I think Most of my learning has come from small groups. I mean, a small group of peers. I used to go to LifeNet, the counseling over there, and it was a peer group. So you'd sit around and no more than, I'll say, 14, 15 people. And there are some heartfelt conversations there. There's some really, some deep stuff goes on there.
Yeah. And you don't want to open them up and then not be able to close them back up because you have such a large group that you can't get back to them. Yeah, that can be more harmful.
What would you say, Mr. Malcolm, about that?
I think it's dead on in terms of, you know, being able to sort of meet a person where they are and to start the process of unpackaging sort of the emotional scars and scar tissue, you know, that exists from abuse and from neglect and from, you know, their drug usage and all of those sorts of things, and not being able to sort of allow a person to sort of go through that within a group format and discuss those things without sort of being carried away because you have, you know, so many other people who are also unpackaging and sort of getting things off of their chest is absolutely correct. And so, you know, smaller groups definitely tend to, you know, provide to be a catalyst for that therapy.
So just to stay on the topic of success, if I'm trying to reach this goal, how do you do it? How do you, like, stay determined? My thing has always been I can start something and I won't finish it. And this is a question for both of you guys. I can start it. You know what I mean? How do you stay? I feel and sense a conviction from you based probably, most likely, like you said, based upon your experiences. But Mr. Malcolm, like, to stay determined and driven to a specific goal. I mean, even this is the fourth semester of college, you guys, and I'm really willing to just go, you know what? Have everything I need. Thank you, guys. I'm not here to pick up my degree. You know what I mean? Yeah, how do you do it?
I'm not sure if you're asking the right person in terms of who's sitting at this table. Obviously, Ms. Brenda has a wealth of wisdom, you know, for us to draw upon. There have been areas in my life where I have been successful, and certainly getting through college and graduate school has been one of those. And so I guess in looking back on those experiences, I just knew that there was just like a relentless determination in order to, you know, finish that, and wanting to sort of be a positive example in my family in terms of reaching those milestones. And certainly there were sort of miraculous interventions throughout, you know, that process that helped me a lot. But there are other ways in my own life that I'm really trying to figure out how to sort of be successful over the long term. And it's a challenge. And so I defer to, you know, Miss Street at this point in time to get her intake, because she's 21 years in the game in terms of her organization and what they've been doing. So let's hear from you.
For me, and my determination is real simple, is God woke me up this morning on this side of the dirt. When he woke me up this morning, I was able to look in the mirror and I could see, not through my human eyes, but through my spiritual eyes. And just that alone lets me know that I am enough. I am worthy and I am deserving. So when I see my clients that come to me with absolutely nothing, when I see them come downtown and I send them to the stew pot and they get the voucher, and they go get their ID, and it's legal and it's legit. The smile that lights up their faces, look, Miss Brenda, because to them it says, I am somebody. I am somebody. So what I do is encourage them. Don't stop there. What happened for me is I was able to go back to school and get my high school diploma at 40. Because see, when you come to me, I want you to be able to go back to school and not feel ashamed because you felt like you've grown too old now. No. And I sat in there I went back twice and got certified medication aid certification so that I could pass medications. And I went and got a CNA certification so that I could help the elderly. And I did these things all the time while running my organizations to show my clients it can be done. So don't let society say what you cannot do. because they told me I couldn't work in nursing because I had a felony, a drug felony. God said I could. I'm going to see which one of you got more power. I got two certificates that showed me who had the power. So you have to believe. You got to believe.
Got to believe. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about believing as well as conformity. Y'all stay tuned. Back on the show, talking about belief and conformity. The two don't seem to mix from my experience. I'm just saying, you dig? So I want to talk a lot about conformity and also how to change the belief of an individual. A lot of times we're in a situation, we have beliefs that hinder us, or we have lack of belief, therefore we don't excel to our highest potential or degree. When we talk about success, we're talking about actually reaching a goal. We're talking also about whether that goal be mental, whether that goal be spiritual. You have to reach a specific place in order to consider yourself a success, or in order to see somebody as a success, you have to have some kind of a standard or a degree. So with conformity, it's quite the opposite. It's almost like I'm just trying to fit in to a slot, going along to get along. Old Baptist preacher said it, said it somewhat like this. If you're going with the flow of life, and you're not feeling opposition, you might want to check the belief system that you have if you're in the right place. So break it down. Anybody, like, just break it down how conformity affects an individual, especially on the streets. How that affects somebody. Miss Street, I've seen too many people that I know. Like, when I hit this library is not too far from the bridge. When I hit it, I see individuals who have been here before I got here, and who are still here. And I say to myself, does that person want to be there? Or is it that the belief system they have prevents them from arriving to the place of success? So my question again to you is, how do you do that? How do you change the belief system of an individual to succeed?
I don't believe that you can. I don't believe you can change somebody else's belief system. I believe it has to be a choice for that particular individual. What I do believe is myself, you, and anybody else, there is a place that I have to go within me. Really deep place, really dark place, and it may even be scary in there. But I've got to go all the way in there because I've got to be introduced to me. Then I can introduce me to you, and you can introduce me to society.
And what I take from what Ms. Street, you know, has basically just said is, right, we can't change people's belief systems or how they perceive the world or anything like that. What we can do is empower people. And empower people is to help them understand the choices and the power that they have already within themselves. And it's to give them a sense of what their options are and to outline exactly how those options could benefit them, you know, or could not benefit them. But it is to at least let them know what their tools are, and maybe to help them build tools, some of those tools. But at the end of the day, people have to make choices and adopt certain beliefs, you know, that are within their best interests. And when we go back to that definition of success, it is an individual's sort of it's an individual's belief goal, right? So it's subjective, and so that's based on that individual and what is going to be worthwhile to him or her.
So how can we then be more effective in presenting the options?
Me personally, my belief is this: it's about attraction rather than promotion. We can talk till the cows come home, but what can you show me that have worked for you? Show me, starting with point A to get to point B, to get by point C, to get to D. Show me step by step what it took for you to get up out the chair, stand up straight, turn around, walk to the door, put your hand on the doorknob, open the door and walk through. Don't tell me how to do it. Show me how to do it.
How do we find the strength to do that? In my time.
From whose perspective?
From the perspective of the individual that's presenting the options and the tools. How do you find that? How do you find that strength to do that and not lose yourself within that?
An alcoholic has depth in weight. An addict has dipped in weight. That means I know me when I see me. I can walk to anybody on the street that is homeless because I have been on the street and I have been homeless. I will be able to identify. It's like radar. We will be able to identify. You can come and have never been homeless and stand right beside me. You can spew out 120 real pretty $10 words. They will completely ignore you. I can say two words and I'll have the entire focus on me because I have what you don't have, and that's the personal experience. What comes with that experience are the feelings. I know how to go in. I know where to go in. That's how we change that. We meet them where they are. I don't go to tell them how to get to the top. I tell them how I came up from the bottom.
And so there are sort of all sorts of blueprints to basically address that question that you just asked. And that's a very recovery oriented, you know, perspective of going just about that. And there are other sorts of ways, you know, that people help, whether that's on a professional level, a not a professional level, from a recovery perspective, a not a recovery perspective. We do this all the time with our family and our friends, you know, just by keeping it real, you know, keeping it 100, as they say, you know, and basically, you know, people gravitate towards authenticity. Yep. So whoever you are, you know, just be that and be real, you know, in that when you're, you know, trying to help somebody out by allowing them to see what their options are and, you know, how certain things are going to help them achieve their goals or not.
For me specifically, I've grown up in many, many different places. Ms. Street, we talked about how I've had so many surrogate teachers, I can't count. Like, I could go into a room, look at everybody, and especially with the homeless situation, I would say this is a library. You know what I mean? Just, oh man, those are so many different books. A person, you have to take time to open the book and learn for yourself. And so I come from different perspectives when I teach or when I approach an individual to help. And sometimes I use an ineffective method. And I'm going through my toolbox saying, oh, man, well, that's an eighth. You know, that's a fourth. And I'm using the wrong tools. But in my mind, everybody wants the same thing. They want to succeed. In my mind, am I wrong?
That's in your mind. Are you wrong?
No. I don't believe so. I would assume individuals want the best for themselves. And I try to provide different options. Let's say if within my growing up, my process, I've gotten more tools. I've gotten a plethora of tools, if you will. And then some of those tools are just a little too heavy for some people. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And so I'm stuck there.
Well, it's what we call the Brendaism. It's a Brendaism. It's my own personal belief. You don't have to agree with, you don't have to like it. It is mine. Okay, I'll share it with you. I also have an ism that I call ego. E-G-O means to edge God out. I am not so egocentric that I think my entire purpose here is to help everybody on this planet. I believe God have people in positions of power, of professionalism. Here, everybody's got somebody that can help them somewhere, some form, some fashion. It is not my job nor my responsibility to help every individual on the planet. I believe there are some people, I need to leave those people alone and refer them to somebody that may be able to reach them. Because for me to continue to beat my belief, because I'm still operating now for my belief, to try to beat my belief into somebody else is to cheat another human being out of his experiences.
Did you catch that, Rashad?
I caught that.
Did you
Mr.
catch
Malcolm?
That?
I caught
Did you
that.
Catch that, sir? Because I think that was very well said.
I think it is, too.
And it speaks to all of our limitations. So thank you for that, Brendaism. You know, it speaks to all of our limitations, but just because our tools may be inadequate, you know, for a situation, it does not mean that those tools aren't out there somewhere, because more than likely they are. You know, for every problem, there's a solution somewhere down the line. And so our maybe the job, real job, is to helping other people understand, you know, what it is that they need.
just be there. And if the tool that you have doesn't work, refer a person to the tools that would be necessary.
Rashad, what did, when you and I first met, this is going to take us back. So for all people, I think you should understand this principle, you know, very well. When you and I first met, within like the first week and a half, I already had a nickname for you, The Bridge. Exactly. And because that was, you know, based on you being the type of person who made links, you know, between people and organizations and concepts, you know, beyond the physical, beyond the interpersonal. You were that type of person to do that. And so I hope you caught that.
That's I caught that one too. Okay. You were that type of person. I caught that. Well, I mean, to be honest with you guys, I mean, this is for the listeners. To be honest, you know, man, hey, we all getting to a place where we're proven wrong. I've been there before and I'm here now. And I have to accept that the reason I may or may not feel successful is because I'm trying to help the whole world within the single grasp of the short expansion of my life, trying to make sure my life is a tool for others to benefit from. And that's been hard on me. That's been extremely hard.
Well, because Rashad, if I can say this, God is not overworked. He don't need your help. Those are his people. And maybe because you've spent so much time helping everybody else, you have neglected your own needs and your own emotional. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, again, we're talking about Brenda-isms. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. I am who I am. And that's a success because I believe in me, you know, and I believe in the truths. My truth may not be your truth, but, you know, I've been on the planet a few days, maybe a day or two longer than you have, as you can tell by the color of my hair, that I have some experience in some areas, son, that you may not have even gotten to yet. I understand what it means to want to be recognized, want to be the center of attention, want to be identified as a person that I want to believe that I am, but I'm not quite there yet. But understand the yet, Y-E-T, means you're eligible too. So you can be well on your way. I mean, my advice to someone in a position, and not saying you, but in a position like you that wants to hurry up and fix the planet, take the skates off and do your part to be present, make a plan, get out of the way, let God do his part and make the outcome, you know? Yeah, because sometimes we plan to do things and the outcome doesn't turn out the way we expected it to because it was not designed that way.
Yes, ma'am. I definitely agree with all that I've experienced basically since my meeting and greeting and fellowship with the library. Not everything turned out that the way I thought it would. I've been helped way beyond what I could ever have imagined. And my intent was only to go in to better myself. And then in that process where others needed help, I could help. And it just fell. It's just like everything fell into place like Tetris. And now I'm sitting here and I'm wondering to myself, you know, what's next? And I'm really, really wondering about that.
Well, let me tell you, it'll be the thing that you least suspected. Yeah, our biggest accomplishments have come to pass by us not even being aware. We made a difference in somebody else's life. Man. Until later on down the line. I got a phone call yesterday from a client I haven't seen in 2.5 years. She's getting ready to graduate from another program. And she called to ask me if I would come to the graduation in July. It took me about 7 minutes to remember who she was because I had that many people, you know, since that long ago. But she was one I least suspected to make it. But she made it, and I just know she couldn't stand me for nothing in the world. And for her to tell me because of me is how she got to where she is, and she just wanted me to know that and to be there.
Similar experience this morning from a friend of mine. Been through the same thing. And it's, you know, I was trying to succeed in teaching and showing another individual how good God is. Yes. And they couldn't take it. Like they couldn't, it got to a point I couldn't take it. And I let the person alone. And the person came to me after probably, I hadn't talked to them probably about 2 months. And they came to me and they were like, listen, bro, you know, that Jesus stuff ain't for me. Yeah. You know, but man, I was hurting in a situation and I had to stretch out like as if Jesus was on the cross. And my hand, which was hasn't functioned in 11 years, is now functioning properly. And I had to go, well, that was a success, but it didn't look like it. You know, sometimes we get into those type of situations. It's, and I hate when you're in the uphill battle and you're fighting and it, you don't see, you may see a speck of daylight and then it may be closed up again on you. Those things, or should I say, the question, the statement Mr. Malcolm made was, what kind of determination did you say? It was an R word, like relentless determination. Mr. Malcolm said relentless determination is what got him through. And I try to find ways to encourage and empower that within myself as well as other individuals. And I was told not too long ago, people who been here a few more days than me, who have a little a different color hair than I do, even though they have the same nationality, you get a college education just sitting down with them on a Saturday and just for 3 hours, just sitting there listening, you know, that's needed. Me and my generation, we beseeching y'all, please teach us the game. Cause me personally, I couldn't do it without the elders. I couldn't do it without somebody. I could not have gotten this far without my father. Now I've explained to you, my father's been locked up my entire life, but coming to the library, I would come to the library to sit down and write my father. That's the very first thing that's how it started. I would come here. I would break out pen and paper. I'd go upstairs. I'd get a 33 and a third disc, sit it on the album player, pull out the piece of paper. And yo, Pop, this is what's going on in my life right now. And he'd shoot me something back that says, listen, man, do you have a problem with something? Man, stop worrying about them girls and do what you need to do. And from that, I learned and experienced success because he guided me. And I think success, period, there's a, like we talked about the boat and the ship, there has to be a point of guidance. And I just wanted the listeners to know that when it all started and as it still stands, the library, people who've been in this room before on these microphones are here for guidance.
So Rashad, that was a really excellent point that you brought up in terms of the whole importance of guidance for all of us when it comes to, you know, reaching our goals. You know, and just looking back in my own life, you know, there were certainly very instrumental people who were there to sort of guide me along the way and sort of help me stir my boat, so to speak, you know, to where it needed to go so it wouldn't get off course. And one of those people was a mentor. And we talked about how people, you know, may come into our lives, you know, from just different places that we would never, you know, expect. And, you know, my mentor was this middle-aged, you know, white guy, middle class, you know, and I grew up in the hood. And so it was a very sort of odd relationship, you know, at first. But now I'm the godfather of he and his wife's child. And we just have an incredible bond. But it was because of, you know, that relationship that, you know, it certainly helped to stir me in the direction that I've been going. And so on that note, that just reminds me of a poem that Maya Angelou has called Alone. And in that poem, part of the refrain is nobody, but nobody can make it out here alone. And so it speaks to basically, I don't know the whole poem, so don't put me on the spot. Okay. But that is sort of, you know, the refrain, you know, in the poem. And it just speaks to how we all need each other and we're all interrelated.
That's true. Like I was saying to Ms. Street about accountability, you know, right now I really, really need what we call an accountability buddy because, you know,
I think my grades have been slipping continually from the start, and I have a list in my head of all the responsibilities that I have, but to continue in them is difficult. So, I mean, it's necessary that we have the guidance, but to be accountable to somebody, I really don't have that right now, Ms. Street, to be honest.
I could make a suggestion to you. There is an organization called APA, Associations of Persons Affected by Addiction. And what they have there are called recovery coaches. Now, you don't necessarily have to have a drug or alcohol addiction. These are substances as far as emotionally, mentally, physically. It covers all addictions, okay? And the coaches are more life coaches to help you get from point A to point B, to hold you accountable, to help you with time management, okay? To lay out a plan, to prioritize priorities, and to keep you on track. Also, your buddies, homeboys, whatever y'all call them nowadays, if they are true homeboys, buddies, then you share with them what's going on. You let them know where you're falling down so that they can hold you up and hold you accountable. That's how that's done.
Do you write your goals down or the tasks that you have before you or anything along those lines, Rashad?
I would take that as a no.
I used to. To be honest, I mean,
I would take that as a no.
I mean, as you guys can see, I keep a journal, and I also keep like a to-do list and things like that. And I'll say I slipped on using it.
Like, how was it effective for you?
It was, before? Man, I'm telling you, man, it was.
Will Smith said, "There's no need for a plan B when you have a plan A." And it was plan A. Plan A was to continue to put the priorities on paper so that they meant something, so that once I go forward, I know, okay, I'm checking this off the checklist. And then that in itself would build self-confidence and self-esteem.
So, you know, I recommend doing what Ms. Brenda said. Definitely look into that. In addition to that, I would definitely sort of challenge you to reconsider, you know, what that plan that you had going on before. Less than 2% of Americans write their goals down. Less than 2% of Americans write their goals down. But those people who do write their goals down are most likely to meet their goals because they have it in front of them. It's a drive. It's like that law of attraction. You know what I mean? Yeah. It definitely helps out. And so that's something that you might want to, you know, revisit, you know, in the future, to help you stay on course, in addition to, you know, getting a recovery buddy or a recovery person, a recovery coach, excuse me, you know, to help hold you accountable.
And I'm just a female, but I'm going to say this because I am one. There have only been, has been one thing that I know that have interrupted any plan, goal, desire, idea that I've had in my head for the past 50 plus years. And the only thing that have distracted me, deterred me, has been relation slip. Because when we get into relation slips, and the reason I call them slips is because that SLIP, sobriety, loses its priority. So in your case, it will be that something loses its priority. It's because I start putting other things above my top priority, which is my school and my education, okay? My list of to-do things. Something else gets on top of that list, and all those things that are a must fall to the bottom.
That's almost, it's crazy. When you say that, I think about an old video game, Madden. You would play Madden, and the quarterback, he had a sight, a vision from the where he could see the whole field. And my sight and my vision is blurred. Is I can't see.
Yeah. Usually we fall like in love or in lust.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Street, if you want to go ahead and tell the folks how they can get in contact with you.
We're God's Truest Miracles. You can find us. My website is rtransitions.org. We have two programs, actually. We have one that's called In the Belly that operates with youth. It's an art program, and its director is Reginald Harris. Or you can go to the tab that says God's Truest Miracles, where you will find me. And it'll have all my contact information. We are grateful and really do appreciate you taking the time to invite us down today. It has been wonderful. Just remember that God can't heal what you won't reveal.
True indeed. Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for having connection with Malcolm and the Dallas Public Library. We truly appreciate you. There's so much that I feel like I've learned today. I've been put on the spot. You dig? But I accept it because the wisdom is very well needed. And thank you. And to all my listeners, or all the listeners, period, man, check out God's Truest Miracles, please. And reach out. So with that said, we're going to wrap this thing up, man. We're going to go out there and be what we can be. You know, should I say that like a football coach? Like, yeah, put your hands in the pile. No, man, just guide however you're accustomed to guiding. Just don't go with everything else. The conformity is going, it drags you down. It don't stifle your creativity. Be the change you want to see. Seriously. Man, let's pray, man. Father God in heaven, glorious King, most magnificent Father there is. I'm talking about Pop. I'm talking about, you know, A1 from day one. You know the desires of our hearts. Every single person on this planet. And like it was said, you don't need our help. So we coming, we calling, we reaching, we expressing thank you. However that might come. That might come in the signal of a dance. It may come in the signal of clapping hands. We just want to say thank you for the time that you provided. Thank you for light every single day. The light in other people's eyes. Just recognition of who you are. So with all of that said, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.